From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns begins the final message in this extensive series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans. We hope you found these studies enlightening and blessed, as Dr. Cairns expounded the great doctrine of justification by faith in Christ, which Paul set forth in the most comprehensive treatment to be found in his epistles. The text is verses 25 through 27 of chapter 16, Paul's great doxology of praise to God for all that he has provided in Christ. In this summary of the book's teachings, Dr. Cairns reviews the great truths of the gospel, showing that Paul's soul was thrilled with them throughout his life. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will commence a message called Glory to God for the Gospel. First, please listen to this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in John chapter 15 and verse 19. I have chosen you out of the world. Here is distinguishing grace and discriminating regard. For some are made the special objects of divine affection. Do not be afraid to dwell upon this high doctrine of election. When your mind is most heavy and depressed, you will find it to be a bottle of richest cordial. Those who doubt the doctrines of grace, or who cast them into the shade, miss the richest clusters of Eshcol. They lose the wines on the lees well refined, the fat things full of marrow. There is no balm in Gilead comparable to it. If the honey in Jonathan's wood, when but touched, enlightened the eyes, this is honey which will enlighten your heart to love and learn the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Eat, and fear not a surfeit. Live upon this choice dainty, and fear not that it will be too delicate a diet. Eat from the king's table will hurt none of his courtiers. Desire to have your mind enlarged, that you may comprehend more and more the eternal, everlasting, discriminating love of God. When you have mounted as high as election, tarry on its sister mount, the covenant of grace. Covenant engagements are the munitions of stupendous rock behind which we lie entrenched. Covenant engagements with the surety, Christ Jesus, are the quiet resting places of trembling spirits. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the raging flood. When every earthly prop gives way, this still is all my strength and stay. If Jesus undertook to bring me to glory, and if the Father promised that he would give me to the Son to be a part of the infinite reward of the travail of his soul, then my soul, till God himself shall be unfaithful, till Jesus shall cease to be the truth, thou art safe. When David danced before the ark, he told Michael that election made him do so. Come, my soul, exult before the God of grace, and leap for joy of heart.
my heavenly home, and gladly take my place. May I with my heart mourn a sight of your redeeming grace, of your redeeming grace. I, O Lord, my thoughts are known by you, my heart is still. Yet by your love and sacrifice, my soul has been made clean.
So now in gratitude I bow before my Father's face, adorned in robes of righteousness and garments of your grace.
May I reflect the glorious sight of your redeeming grace, and radiate the righteousness of your most holy day.
Until I reach my heavenly home,
as you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all his fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel as it is presented by Christ to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may simply call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final, by Alan Cairns.
We're turning tonight to the final verses of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 16, reading verses 25, 26, and 27. The three final verses of the 16th chapter of the book of Romans. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God, only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own inspired and infallible word for his name's sake. Tonight we come to the final study in the book of Romans. Romans, as you can see, ends with a mighty burst of praise. As I recognized that, the first thing that popped into my mind was a question. The question was, how could it be otherwise? If you understand anything that's been going on in these 16 chapters, then this book could not end in any other way than with such an outpouring of praise from the heart of the apostle. Right at the very beginning, if you can cast your mind back, I paraphrased Paul's subject. Like any good writer or preacher, he made it clear what he was going to be writing about, the subject. And the subject was the gospel concerning God's Son and the blood-bought righteousness that God has provided in Christ for the salvation of guilty sinners through faith alone. Now that's the subject. As he began to deal with that subject, Paul sets forth what we would call a thesis that he expounds at great length. This is what the whole book then is about. If you go back to our studies in the first chapter, you remember that thesis. I repeated it again and again and again and again over those initial weeks so that we would get it into our hearts and minds as we went through the details of the book, exactly where Paul was going and why he was going there. His thesis is this, that the revelation that God has provided a perfect righteousness for guilty sinners, on the ground of which they are justified by faith without any meritorious works of their own. This revelation is a glorious and powerful message for the whole world. Now that's Paul's thesis. That's what the great apostle believed. And that's what he preached. And that's why he spent his life itinerating around the world. We read just a couple of weeks back how that he said, I have fully preached the gospel all the way from Jerusalem to Illyricum. We're not sure how far he went into that area. That would stretch to such places as modern day Albania, Croatia, Serbia, that area. We're not sure how far he went in there, but we know he at least went as far as Illyricum, on foot most of it, all the way from Jerusalem, going into the hard places, places where no other preacher had ever been, where no church had been established, where heathenism was deeply entrenched, where the forces of darkness were in control. He went in there preaching this message. It's amazing to me that the message that I have just set forth as Paul's thesis and the subject, that message is rarely preached in our Protestant pulpits today and never in Roman Catholic pulpits. or Greek Orthodox pulpits. So you take the whole of Christendom, evangelical or liturgical, and it would appear that for the most part, this message is no longer preached. Is it any wonder Christianity or professing Christianity is in the mess that it's in? Remember, it was in connection with this particular message in Galatians chapter 1 that Paul said, if anybody, even an angel from heaven, preaches any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. I wonder how much of modern so-called preaching, even so-called Bible-believing preaching, even professedly evangelical preaching, even professedly Reformed preaching, I wonder how much of it comes under that startling condemnation from the inspired apostle. When he went into a new mission field, he didn't go with little drawings, stick figures, puppets. He didn't insult the intelligence of the people, even though many of them could neither read nor write. Many of them were slaves. He did not insult them by making the gospel into a comic book. He didn't tell them a story of tear-jerking of power. He went in and he preached condemnation in Adam, justification in Christ, salvation through the blood, the imputed righteousness of the Savior. That's what he went preaching. And that's what changed the world. Paul preached what he believed, and he believed what he preached. It's very clear as you read this epistle, and especially, and this is something I haven't taken time to do simply because of time constraints. For if you think that it's taken a long time to take 80 messages through Romans, I'm telling you, I have been going with the speed of a jet plane. And I could very easily take another 80 messages without any difficulty. But you'll see how often he breaks in to what he's saying with something that sounds like a doxology. It's just a burst of praise. Because as Paul wrote this great epistle, it was not old news to him. It was always new news. It was not old hat to him. It was not just religious theory to him. It was not something to which he had become accustomed and he could talk as many preachers can do and let the words just roll off the tip of their tongue and they never get involved. Now, I know I'm Irish. Don't worry, you may, when you get glorified, you may aspire to such a wonderful condition in life. I don't know. But I know, and the Irish are a strange bunch. And I know that Irish preachers have the reputation that they are fiery, they're involved. But you know, I have to say, I don't really care what nationality you are. It doesn't sit right with me that a preacher can stand up like a dead stick talking about these great truths of the gospel, and they don't seem to affect him. If they don't affect him, why on earth should his preaching of them affect me? Now I realize that volume is not power. I realize that emotion even is not power. But certainly I look at Paul here and I find that he was powerfully moved by what he himself was preaching. It thrilled his soul. To Paul, you couldn't simply say, yes, I believe the gospel, shrug your shoulders and say, now let's go out and have an ice cream. That's not the way the apostle looked at the gospel. When he began talking about the gospel, everything else faded. Wasn't another subject in the world that obtruded into his thinking. Once he began to think about the gospel, it seemed that everything else was placed on hold, and Paul, with every ounce of energy in his being, was involved in what he was saying, because he was saying, if you believe this, this is the greatest thing in the world. If this is true, if this gospel is true, and it is true, then it must be the greatest thing in the world. That's how he looked at the gospel. And really, why wouldn't he? You go back to the beginning of his epistle, he starts with man lying under condemnation, as he says, the whole world guilty before God. Now that's a very depressing picture. It's not a picture that the modern preacher wants to paint. It's not a picture that the people who are so wrapped up in the message of positive self-image want to present. But Paul's not a bit interested in self-image and making men feel good about themselves. I mean, what is the use of a preacher trying to make sinners feel good about themselves when there's just one heartbeat between them and eternal torment? Why would I want to come and make people feel good about themselves if they're only a heartbeat away from an everlasting hell? That's what was in Paul's mind. He says the whole world lies guilty before God. Then he began to trace the mighty action of God in Christ to save and deliver sinners from this curse and this condemnation and place them in a state of acceptance with God without any work or merit of their own. So as he looked back on all that, from condemnation to glorification, without any input of personal human work or merit, all through the merits of Christ, Paul, looking back on it, could only burst forth, as he does at the end of chapter 16, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." You know, when I read this text, from one point of view, Paul is writing with real calculation. It's very evident if you take this passage and compare it with the opening section of Romans chapter 1, there's a series of parallel lines. For example, in chapter 1 verse 1, he speaks of the gospel of God. Here he speaks of my gospel. In chapter 1 verse 2, he said that gospel was promised afore in the Holy Scriptures. Here he says it was made manifest by the Scriptures. In chapter 1 verse 3, he says the gospel was concerning his Son. Here in our text, he says the gospel is the proclamation or the preaching of Jesus Christ. In chapter 1 verse 5, he said it was made known for the obedience of faith among all nations, or obedience to the faith. And here he says it was made known for the obedience of faith, or for obedience to the faith. And again, it's among all nations. You can see there is a deliberate closing of the circle. And the things that he has dealt with at the beginning, he now deals with again at the end. So he's writing with calculation, and yet he's also writing with burning passion. That's very evident that Paul is being swept along by some powerful emotion. The words are pouring out of him like some mighty Niagara. If you read it in English, it's sort of smoothed a little bit, and even there, I don't think anybody could have paid any attention to the Bible reading tonight without recognizing this is a difficult Bible reading. And the reason is very simple. These words are so pouring out of Paul that his syntax is broken. His sentences are jerky. It's not grammatically a very beautiful passage. It's as if Paul is throwing aside the niceties of grammar because they can't contain the fervor of his feelings. So as he reviews the gospel and thinks in everything that God has accomplished through the gospel of Christ, the apostle is so overwhelmed that in effect, if I could sum up these three verses, all that he's really saying is glory to God for the gospel.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.